Part 4. Key Learnings on Evangelization. Evangelization is an echoing of the good news of Christ. A local priest describes evangelization as a joyful sharing of one's transformative encounter with God in a manner that inspires others to seek such an encounter. This involves being a visible witness of God's great love to others. We have been commanded to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Evangelization is not an optional activity. It is the primary function of the church. Pope Paul VI wrote, "The task of evangelizing all people constitutes the essential mission of the church." Evangelii Nuntiandi, paragraph 14. He reminds us that evangelizing is, in fact, the grace and vocation proper to the church, her deepest identity. She exists in order to evangelize. We must realize that the task of the church is the mission of His people. We are the church. We work in conjunction with our priests, religious, bishops, and pope. We are called to labor alongside our clergy and religious orders. All of us together serve as members of the body of Christ. Pope Paul VI issued a reminder that this work entails the carrying forth of the good news to every sector of the human race, so that by its strength it may enter into the hearts of men and renew the human race. General Directory of Catechesis, paragraph 46. Each one of us has a unique role to play in the work of evangelization. Evangelization is often defined as the work of passing on the faith. It requires a combination of art and science. We have all been given particular gifts and talents to share with others in our work of evangelization. Proclamation, witness, teaching, sacraments, love of neighbor. All of these aspects are the means by which the one gospel is transmitted, and they constitute the essential elements of evangelization itself. General Directory of Catechesis, paragraph 46. Each of these elements is vital to the work as it serves another soul. Evangelization must develop its totality in witness and proclamation, word and sacrament, interior change, and social transformation. Those who evangelize have a global vision of evangelization and identify with the overall mission of the church. General Directory of Catechesis, paragraph 46. The scope of evangelization is broad. In some instances, we will be present to another person in many aspects of this work. In other situations, we may be called to just one opportunity for encounter of evangelization. Whatever the role, we know that the process of evangelization requires patience and trust. It is not enough to engage in good works, receive the sacraments, disclose our witness story, or share the gospel with others. All of these efforts must be directed towards bringing another individual into closer relationship with Christ and His church. As members of the body of Christ, we are reminded that the church evangelizes when she seeks to convert. Evangelii Nuntiandi, paragraph 18. We know that Christ desires relationship with each person through the sacraments of the Catholic Church. Our genuine desire for another cannot be outdone by God's desire for the conversion of their heart. Respect for another's beliefs or way of life should not discourage us from sincerely listening, genuinely loving, and thoughtfully inviting them to grow in their relationship with Christ. We are not motivated by our own interest or measure of success, but by offering ourselves as conduits for the work of the Holy Spirit. We should never shy away from offering an invitation to grow closer to Christ or the Catholic Church, lest we underestimate the presence of the Holy Spirit in each individually created soul. Alone, we are unable to convert hearts. But in opening our hearts to others and sharing Christ's work in our lives, we become evangelizers of God's love. Encountering God. A first-generation encounter of God is the deepest desire of every human heart. Throughout human history, we see those who encounter God have been changed forever. People do not want to just hear about God. They want to be introduced to Him personally. They want to hear Him in personal prayer and inspired scripture. They want to feel His presence in their daily lives. They want to know the intense and overwhelming love of the Father as a unique child of God. In this experience, these seekers often need a guide. You are a key leader in your parish or organization, and you are being asked to take on this role of guide for others. By nature of your baptism, you have received the gifts necessary to serve in this role when you were anointed priest, prophet, and king. In embracing this opportunity and the sacraments, you will be given the grace necessary to fulfill this role in your daily life. The Church asks you to allow your heart to be inflamed, as it was for the first time at your baptism. The Church asks you to open your soul to God's grace and proclaim His presence in your life, to be who you are, where you are. Who are you? Where are you? You are a beloved child of God. He constantly seeks you in all things. Every moment of every day, you are offered God's grace and goodness. Do you truly believe that you are a beloved child of God? Do you feel His grace in your life? Do you have awe and wonder for God's goodness? What is your response to His great generosity? We are built to honor God with gratitude. As a key leader in the Catholic community, the Church is asking you to be who you are, to be the person that God is calling you to be in this moment. Even in our doubt, we must reach out to Him. Pray for the grace to trust in God's desire to be closer to you, to have you live in His love, and to fill you with the Holy Spirit to serve as a guide to those around you. Prayer and our relationship with Jesus. Prayer connects us to God. It is the lifeblood of our spiritual life, the channel through which we maintain ongoing relationship with our Father. If we do not pray, we become disconnected from God. Just as the human relationships in our lives depend on maintaining connection, even more so does our fundamental relationship with God require attentive prayer. It is impossible to maintain a relationship with Christ without prayer. We are His precious children. He yearns to be invited into intimate relationship with each of our individual hearts. Just as many of us work to be good parents, God desires a vibrant, warm, and close relationship with each of His children. He wants us close so that He can guide and protect us. He wants to hear us. He wants to talk to us. Prayer is more than an act of repeating memorized verses. Repetition has a place in settling our minds, but connecting to God through prayer requires a deeper intimacy and vulnerability. Prayer is talking to God in your own words, from your heart. God desperately desires our invitation to accompany us through the anger, pain, hurt, and disappointments of life. As we prepare for the Inflame Our Hearts convocation in October 2019, please make time to draw closer to Him in order to listen to God's call for you. Create a space in your schedule when you can intentionally read Scripture, pray openly in conversation with Jesus about everyday matters, work to be a blessing in your home, and study the preparation materials so that we all might be a greater blessing to our church and our community. Here is a sidebar setting forth key aspects of evangelization. This first quote is from the General Directory of Catechesis, paragraph 46. The missionary mandate of Jesus to evangelize has various aspects, all of which, however, are closely connected with each other. Proclaim, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Make disciples and teach, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Be my witness, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Baptize, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Do this in memory of me, Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Love one another, John chapter 15, verse 12. God wants to share in our laughter and tears. God loves when we are fully human and open, when we are unscripted, raw, honest, and unrehearsed in our conversations with Him. In all moments of our lives, God desires to be fully present. As we make decisions, large and small, we are called to reach out to our Father. Without prayer, we choose to disengage from Christ. Losing this connection leaves us to rely solely on our human abilities, which lead to narrow-mindedness and vulnerability to the influence of Satan. As he did to Adam and Eve, Satan twists and trips up our decision-making if we rely completely on our humanity. Prayerful decision-making opens us to the possibilities that Christ has in store and calls us to a deeper relationship with God. We no longer control a situation, but practice discernment in opening our lives to God's will. This strengthens our decisions with the hope of God's grace and the benefit of His eternal wisdom. Prayer to Jesus and the intercession of the saints, particularly Mary, our mother, allows us to share in spiritual vision and accompaniment. When we cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are equipped with the necessary gifts to strengthen our faith, deepen our trust, and secure our hope in God. We cannot be strengthened to live out our Catholic faith without prayer. Only through prayer can our hearts be transformed so that the efforts of our lives can reflect the mission and joy of our baptismal call. Astronauts need oxygen. Christians need prayer. Prayer should take many forms, both in long and short conversations with God. As in any good relationship, we experience different forms of sharing. We desire retreat experiences and regular deep prayer times. We also need flash conversations and spontaneous prayers throughout the day. God desires this ongoing connection with us, a deeper relationship than that of our spouse or best friend. From the time of our conception, God has been whispering to us and caring for our heart. He is not interested in being an external observer. He wants an interior relationship of deep intimacy. He created our hearts, but respects our free will in inviting Him into intimate relationship with us. We invite God inside through prayer. Intimate and vibrant prayer strengthens us to live the gospel. In living the gospel, prayer equips us to be effective evangelists. Ultimately, an evangelist helps others develop deep relationship with Jesus through living a Catholic Christian life, the life of a prayerful follower of Christ. The necessary first step in becoming an effective evangelizer is to develop a deep prayer life. The second step is to reflect this intimacy with Christ by nurturing and encouraging a deep prayer life in those that we accompany. We support others in prayer when we invite them to share their deepest concerns and emotions with God. We witness the beautiful dependence and freedom that occurs when we connect with Christ through prayer. We encourage them in knowing that God is already present in their lives and desires intimacy with their hearts. We model the words that can open hearts by praying with them, aloud in our own words, when we are in time of counsel with them. Incorporating Scripture into this prayer deepens our understanding of God's Word as an instrumental directive at all times. As a gospel people, we are called to spend intentional time in prayer with Scripture. Reflecting on His Word allows God to speak to our hearts through Scripture. The Word is His love letter to our hearts. Prayerful reading of Scripture and quiet reflection allows us to hear Him. Presence. Your presence in each moment is critical in the life of an active Christian. Each moment is an opportunity to witness appreciation, joy, and gratitude. Each moment our children, spouse, friends, and neighbors are observing how we respond to what life throws at us. These moments are an opportunity of divine appointment for each of us. Divine appointments are an occasion of sacred encounter with Christ through another person. Much of our time is spent in planning for the next thing or reviewing the last thing. We are often not mindful of the present moment. We are missing pivotal opportunities for sacred encounter. Divine appointments can be life-changing. Our decision to recognize or ignore these moments can have lasting effects. God creates these appointments for us to participate in His loving plan to draw others to Him and His church. We are told, "Whatever you do unto the least of these, you have done unto me." Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Little by little, in these moments, we can choose to grow closer or further from the hearts of others. Our divine appointments are not minuscule. They are opportunities for interactions with key people in our lives. God's infinite orchestration has no accidents. Those around you share your space for a purpose designed by our Creator. Pope Francis calls us to grow in cercania, or nearness, to those around us. Pope Francis shares that faith is best transmitted over small distances. He tells us, "Closeness, that is the secret to communicating the heart of the faith, and not a secondary aspect." Pope Francis, Mass Homily, October 28, 2018. It is in this closeness that we are open to real encounter. Faith has to do with encounter, not theory. In encounter, Jesus passes by. In encounter, the heart of the church beats. Then, not our preaching, but our witness of life will prove effective. Pope Francis, Mass Homily, October 28, 2018. Minimizing the distances in our lives allows us to connect to those people that God has put in our unique surroundings. Listen and nurture. Do you actively nurture the ones you love? Just as Adam was directed to nurture Eve and the garden, Genesis chapter 2, we are called to nurture the key relationships in our life. This can be difficult. Relationships are fragile and demand great care. We cannot put relationships on autopilot or at the end of a long to-do list. Strong relationships are the result of effort and cultivation. We often hear from couples celebrating their 50th anniversary that the success of their marriage depended on their active nurturing of their relationship. In those times that they were tempted to approach their relationship without priority or interest, they experienced the roughest periods in their marriage. Healthy connection requires personal attention and deep conversation. We must aspire to share thriving relationships that allow us opportunities to grow closer to each other and Christ. In that effort, we best live out the sacred position God has given us in influencing another and reflecting His love in their life. Listening is a work of love and must be an active part of nurturing. The work of listening and nurturing are tied together in building affinity and connection. Pope Francis tells us that listening is the apostolate of the ear, listening before speaking. Mass homily, October 28, 2018. Do you listen without interruption to those closest to you? It can be very challenging to listen intently. However, it is the most powerful action we offer in evangelization. Focus on being an intentional listener in your life for a deeper connection of trust and stronger relationships of love. In doing this, you will reflect the love of God to others. And this from Pope Francis from his Mass homily of October 28, 2018. The children of the Heavenly Father are concerned with their brothers and sisters, not with useless chatter, but with the needs of their neighbors. They listen patiently and lovingly, just as God does to us and to our prayers, however repetitive they may be. God never grows tired. He is always happy when we seek Him. May we, too, ask for the grace of a heart that listens. Mission and fruit. To be on mission for Christ is to practice intentional listening. Before sharing Christ's love, we must listen and genuinely understand the pain of another. We validate another's experiences when we take the time to enter into their suffering with a sincere willingness to journey with them. This is the heart of the work of evangelization. Our journey with another becomes an active work of love through accompaniment. We are called to practice accompaniment as a shoulder-to-shoulder walk through the hills and valleys of life with those God has placed in our lives. We are not called to have a more convincing argument or an overwhelming academic knowledge of the faith. We are called to validate the individual dignity of each person we meet as a child of God. In this validation, we strive to introduce them to Christ and invite them to a deeper relationship with Him. If we focus on winning an argument, we invite deeper conflict into a sensitive situation. Our rhetoric becomes repulsive when it is not offered in the context of understanding and respect. When we evangelize in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, we recognize the value of our personal witness to the abundant life through listening and investing in those closest to us. Scripture directs us to judge a tree by its fruit, Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. In the same way, we choose to adopt or reject what others are sharing by what we see in their lives. This is not judgment, but an evaluation of what we are interested in pursuing in our own lives. In this way, we know that genuine beliefs must be reflected in a person's life if we are to duplicate them in our own. It is disingenuous to call ourselves Catholic if we do not live a life that reflects God's love for others and our confidence in the sacramental grace of His Church. The fruit of our faith must be lived out with those we love. When we invite others to spend time together, we open the opportunity to develop deep relationships and experience conversions of the heart. Are we inviting our family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors to engage in meaningful listening and conversation? Baptism and evangelization. Baptismal vows are powerful promises made to Christ in the presence of a supporting faith community. It includes the promises to know, love, and serve Christ. Within this call, we are commissioned with the grace to evangelize. Those desiring baptism for themselves or their children are asked a version of this question as part of the rite of baptism. You have asked to have your child baptized. In doing so, you are accepting the responsibility of training him or her in the practice of the faith. It will be your duty to bring him or her up to keep God's commandments as Christ taught us, by loving God and our neighbor. Do you clearly understand what you are undertaking? In desiring baptism in the church, Catholic parents commit to forming children in the faith. This foundational role is the great gift of parenthood and cannot be filled by any other person or institution. Formation in the faith must include an invitation to relationship with the person of Christ. As parents, we request this sacrament of grace for our children as an external sign of our commitment to raise them in the Catholic faith. However, we must also understand this commitment includes a willingness to prioritize that faith development in our home. It is no surprise that as the culture of family has deteriorated, so too has the transmission of faith within the home. Living a Catholic life is more than following the moral norms or doctrines of the faith. Rules can never be a solid foundation for a relationship of love. Love is a free choice. Loving Christ and His Church must be a decision made in each individual heart. The faith of a child must eventually develop into an adult faith that is deeply desired and freely accepted. As children mature and experience independence, they also develop their own individual free will and take on the decision to know or reject Jesus. In prioritizing faith in the home as part of the family culture, we invest in the souls of our kids and model the life God intends for each of us. A Catholic home illuminates life's deep meaning within the context of grace, beauty, and truth. Living our faith is more than dragging the kids to church and jumping through hoops to receive the sacraments. Lived faith means engaging in a deep, personal relationship with Jesus and fostering a heart of Christian love for others. When parents and godparents present a child for baptism, they do so out of desire. But what is it that is truly desired for that child? In reflecting on the grace of the sacrament of baptism, we know that by water and the Holy Spirit, that child receives the gift of new life from God, who is love. Just as we feed and dress our children each day, we are also called to make it your constant care to bring him or her up in the practice of the faith. See that the divine life which God gives him or her is kept safe from the poison of sin, to grow always stronger in his or her heart. Rite of Baptism. Faith is meant to be an ongoing lesson, a constant priority in the culture of the home. Only as a priority can our Catholic faith be important. Otherwise, it is relegated to another thing we do that will eventually fade. As parents model prayer and holiness in the home, they encourage their children to develop strong interior lives. Our relationships on earth will eventually end, but our interior lives are eternal. This interior life gives us the grace to answer the call to nurture the souls of our loved ones and live out evangelization in our homes. As a family group, children and adults fall in multiple stages of spiritual development. We build deep relationships to know each other's hearts, allowing us to meet each other and grow deeper in love with Christ together. God loves us right where we are, and we are called to do the same for each other. His love is patient and gradual, always encouraging us to grow closer to His merciful heart. This patient and gradual love is called the pedagogy of God. We are called to patiently love our family, friends, co-workers, all those that God has put around us in proximity of relationship. In this, we respond to the Great Commission lived out in our time, the work of evangelization in each individual life. What evangelization is not. In our work of evangelization, we are called to love Jesus and live as witnesses to that love. We are not all asked to be scholars in theology or serve as employees of the church. Our value is not found in what we know, but in whom we know, Jesus Christ. We are effective to the degree that we faithfully live what we believe, and that authentic holiness and joy is attractive to others. As stated by Pope Paul VI, the first means of evangelization is the witness of an authentically Christian life, given over to God in a communion that nothing should destroy, and at the same time, given to one's neighbor with limitless zeal. The power of the Church in sharing the gospel message is as a living witness of fidelity to the Lord Jesus, the witness of sanctity. We are called to witness in our personal relationships to the work of God through the hills and valleys of our lives. This is a call to vulnerability and openness, both with God and others. It is not easy, but we know it to be an essential element in the new evangelization. In the words of Pope Paul VI, modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers, and if he does listen to teachers, it is because they are witnesses. Catechesis is a specific moment in evangelization. The work of catechesis is focused on the deeper formation of those who have already experienced initial invitation and conversion of heart. Catechesis and evangelization are meant to integrate and complement each other, with catechesis being a remarkable element in the process of evangelization. Catechesi Trendende, paragraph 18. Through catechesis, interested persons grow in their understanding of Scripture, church doctrine, and openness to the Holy Spirit's activity in their lives. As they increase in knowledge, there is a further deepening of relationship and an increasingly profound experience of evangelization in growing closer to Christ and His church. In this respect, formation, or the sharing of information, in the church should not be offered before or in the place of introductory evangelization. For an initial seeker, the work of catechesis should focus on the basic message of salvation, the kerygma. In this, we avoid the occasion of presenting the rules or doctrine of the faith before a person has had the opportunity to truly fall in love with Christ. Within this profound experience of conversion, a soul is given the grace to deeply experience Christ's love and mercy. These are essential to softening the heart. A conversion of the heart to know, love, and serve Christ truly motivates a responsive conversion of the will to follow His commands for our life. Discipleship is a way of life for those having experienced conversion in Christ's love. This was lived out in the communal life of Christ's earliest followers, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Becoming a Christian was not a formal process, but a chosen lifestyle. Those that believed learned from others that witnessed to them in word and action. In doing this, they modeled what Jesus had taught them in His 3 years of ministry. The first disciples were more than students of Christ's teaching. They were also eyewitnesses to the most intimate details of His earthly life. Christ not only shared His teaching, but also invited them to live every aspect of holiness with Him. This is discipleship, a willingness to intimately share our lives in accompaniment with another person. Our openness to God in our lives creates a place for the Holy Spirit to fill us with grace and desire. Fortunately, discipleship is lived out in relationship with another person. We are called to be a disciple and then to disciple others. This process of discipleship grew the early church for centuries, long before we had parish boundaries or RCIA programs. Each of us are called to live as disciples of Christ, to model his life of holiness and virtue in whatever vocation, career, or geography we find ourselves. For those that have experienced a relationship of discipleship, this means encountering and accompanying others in your home and/or community. If you have not yet experienced discipleship, we invite you to take this to God in prayer. Pay close attention to the desires of your heart and the relationships in your life that God has given as a deliberate means to grow closer to Him. Watch for someone in your life that is modeling holiness and virtue in their relationship with Christ and His church, and consider asking for their accompaniment in your journey of faith. Who might the Lord have placed in your life to accompany you? How might the Holy Spirit be calling you to accompany another? And from the National Directory for Catechesis, paragraph 29, accompaniment offers a guided encounter with the entire Christian life, a journey toward conversion to Christ. It is a school for discipleship that promotes an authentic following of Christ based on the acceptance of one's baptismal responsibilities, the internalization of the Word of God, and the transformation of the whole person to life in Christ. Stages of evangelization and discipleship. Personal relationships develop in stages. Sometimes these stages are achieved gradually, and sometimes circumstances influence a rapid change in stages of relationship. In a similar way, we recognize that there are stages in our relationship with Christ. In the following chart, these stages are labeled as thresholds. We recognize the role of evangelization in initiating and deepening the early stages of pretrust, trust, curiosity, openness, and seeking. At the pivotal point of conversion, individuals freely decide to actively engage in developing their own personal relationships with Christ. Once they have made this vital decision, a person continues to grow as a disciple. Within their vocation, parents are specifically called to serve in the role of disciple maker for their children. Each one of us is called to grow in holiness and become a spiritual multiplier during our earthly lifetime through our prayer efforts and/or active engagement. This is the call we receive to be saints, to choose a life of virtue and holiness that is reflected in each of our relationships. Here is the chart of the stages of evangelization and discipleship. It passes from the early stages from passive disposition to active disposition. The first stage, pretrust. A person likely has no connection with an individual, Catholic, or the Church, and likely harbors suspicion or outright hostility toward Catholicism. Next is trust. A person has a positive association with Jesus, the Church, Catholic schools, or a Catholic. This is not the same as active personal faith. Curiosity. A person is intrigued by or desires to know more about Jesus or his teachings. This is passive interest, and the person is not yet open to change. Openness. A person admits to a general need or desire for personal and spiritual change. This is not the same as a commitment to specific changes. Seeking. A person moves from being passive to actively seeking to know the God who is calling him or her. The seeker is engaged in a spiritual quest. Point of decision. The decision in faith to follow Jesus as an obedient disciple in the midst of the church which brings about new life. Following that point of decision, beginning disciple. A person begins to follow Jesus as a disciple, starts turning away from sin, and has a tangible desire to grow spiritually. Growing disciple. A person develops a heart for God, makes any sacrifice in order to personally grow, and lives habits of the Christian life. Commissioned disciple. A person has decided to personally answer the call to take part in the mission of the church by sharing the good news. Disciple maker. A person has helped another to commit their life to Jesus as a disciple and makes any sacrifice to help another person to grow spiritually. Finally, spiritual multiplier. A person is fully equipped for lifelong Catholic mission and has produced a strong third generation of disciples. This is courtesy of Forming Intentional Disciples by Sherry Waddell, Focus Ministries, Archdiocese of Omaha, Nebraska. Looking at the thresholds of conversion and discipleship, where are you? Where would you place the individuals that surround you in your daily life? Do you know personal details of those whose lives you share that would signal their place in this chart? We are all in different places in our faith journeys. We know that there are good Catholics in each of these categories. The external motions of faith can mask the absence of an internal personal relationship with Christ. What do you regularly confess in the Sacrament of Reconciliation? Most of us find ourselves repeating the same sins again and again. Recognizing those sinful habits allows us to identify our place in the thresholds of conversion and discipleship. Analyzing our weakest elements leads many of us to realize that we are in the stages of pre-trust and trust. This is not a bad thing. We are all on a journey. We can relate to those who fear trusting God with their weaknesses. It is helpful for each of us to recognize where we are in our journey as we work to deepen our relationship with Christ. Evangelization calls us to meet people where they are. We are called to love them in that place, and offer to accompany them under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to a deeper life in Christ. In order to meet them in their faith journey, we must listen to their story and discern the threshold that best describes their interior desire. This is loving discipleship, to accompany them as they discern growing closer to the heart of Christ.